Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a partial studio episode of First Ring Daily. I'm Brad, he's Paul. And as always, guys, today's show is brought to you by Smart Deploy, hardware independent imaging software.
What part of the partial here is the studio?
Well,
there it is.
Yeah. I was going to say it's back here.
Sorry, my mistake. It's quite partial.
It is, yeah, part of the studio. For whatever reason, Firefox updated, and I know we had this issue right at the end of last week, and I opened it again today, and it's still not working with our preferred video platform because I can't switch the cameras in Chrome. For whatever reason, in Chrome, it is locked to this webcam, and it will not change come hell and or high water. And then,
continue to stick a stick into the spokes of progress, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like you see this finely running machine, and you're like, what happens if I throw sand in there?
Unfortunately, this one isn't my fault. Chrome has never really worked well with switching webcams or attached cameras. Firefox will load the correct camera, but then it freezes after 0.0001 seconds permanently. And so here we are. And Skype wasn't an option today. So here we are, Paul. Here we are.
Gotcha. Sorry.
So, Paul, at some point today, I'm going to post what will be the best photo remix video you will see all hour. Once I'm able to
actually, I noticed you would have posted that already. There seems to be a rendering issue. Is that the right term?
So this is, I don't know if I'm going to write this up or not. This app is terrible. So aside from the fact that it has crashed three times while saving, while I'm just trying to add the 3D effects, which is the whole point of the app, there's other issues too. So when it does save on occasion, what you do is you pick, what to say, like a comet crashing into the scene. So you pick where you want that comet to land on the scene. But occasionally after you hit save, it just defaults it back to the very center of the image. Like it doesn't save the location. Which completely then means you have to go back and do it again, hit save, cross your fingers that it doesn't screw up. And then if it does work, then you have to cross your fingers again, making sure that when you save it, it doesn't actually crash the app. And this is running the latest build. It's actually, I think, whatever the RTM build is. That's what this is running. It's not good. The other thing, one of hallmark features of this is that, okay, so you have a fireball and you want it to like follow an object. I think at build they showed it anchored onto a soccer ball. Right, I think they showed that or whatever. Anchoring does not work in any capacity. It doesn't work. I have tried many different ways, many different strategies of trying to get the anchor feature to work.
I can explain that one. Because I talked to the woman from that team recently. let me restart that. Right now, in the build that's available today, you can only attach 3D objects to, I want to say, moments in time or individual images or something like that in a slideshow or whatever it is. They're going to release an update on the day that the Fall Creators update comes out that will allow you to attach a 3D object to another object, which is what you're talking about. So that actually is not in there today. That it will be in there.
Gotcha. Well, hopefully that update
didn't explain that very well. Yeah.
That's
coming. So just so you know. So you might, if you're going to write this up, know that it is coming.
Well, knowing that, I'll probably wait until this all ships and it's actually publicly available before poo-pooing all over it in an official capacity.
That's probably not a bad idea. Yeah. And who knows? They might fix some of the other issues you're having too.
Yeah. But the other thing about this, which is actually going to ship and I wrote up this morning, is that if you are not an Office 365 subscriber and you don't have it linked to your Microsoft account, you don't get all the features in the Remix app. There's specific animations and actually different music. And so what they're basically doing is putting in a soft paywall. So if you log into the app without an Office 365 account, you are going to get a nice little banner right in the center of the screen that says, hey, if you link to an Office 365 account or subscribe or buy one right now, you'll get extra features. And it's, you know, this is one thing that where you look at the app and it's like, okay, they're putting some features behind the paywall. This isn't a big deal. But what I'm more concerned about is that we're going to start seeing this in other apps, say calendar, for example. It said, hey, you can only attach three email accounts to your calendar. If you want five, here comes Office 365, or the same thing with mail. I could actually see them starting to do this in other areas inside of Windows, and then they're going to start pitching it. Get the most out of Windows with Office 365.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an unexpected change, right? I mean, there was no indication that that was ever going to happen. And I think you sent me a picture of it or something on Skype before you wrote about it. And I looked at that picture and I thought, this is related to Office. Like, not, and then I got the Photos app update and it pops up in Photos. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. What is going on? Like, what is this?
That's so what, when is, you said that, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, you're going to put this in PowerPoint. PowerPoint's Office 365. Yeah. It needs to be compatible.
But it's in Photos.
But yeah, no, it's not.
So. It's funny, Office 365 doesn't seem on the surface of things to have anything to do with this photo apps or 3D objects or whatever, and it's kind of a weird thing. It's almost like, you know, the one broad consumer service that Microsoft has deployed at scale is Office 365, so it's like the one thing they can tie stuff to if they want you to buy it. But God, it makes no sense. It's like, hey, sorry, if you want to download this DLC for Call of Duty, you just have to be a Call of Duty or a Office 365 subscriber, and then you can have it. You know, it's like, wait, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't, and I'm just worried that we're going to see this pop up elsewhere. And so it's, you got to start somewhere, and there you go.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, just because this is suddenly occurring to me. If Office 365 became something called Microsoft 65, would this make a little more sense? Like, because it's almost like that's kind of where it's heading, right?
Yeah, it kind of is, because this is in no way and tied into that.
No, but once you remove the Office name from it, it's like, well, okay.
Right.
You have this one service, I guess. I don't know. Possible.
Yeah, I mean, you could see that, especially if they're going to start going a little bit broader with this and saying, okay, Windows 10, here it is. You get it for free or whatever they're going to start doing. But if you want all the features, sign up for our annual subscription where you'll get one DLC pack per quarter with new maps and wallpapers.
And this will be the future everyone feared, you know, Microsoft charging for Windows, essentially. And it's like not all of Windows, but just the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll get real dicey when they start including loot boxes in that mechanic mechanism. It's like, download this pack, and then you double-click and see which features you're going to get.
Please, Microsoft, do include loot boxes in Windows. That'd be the best.
Oh, man. Speaking of loot boxes, Disney movie...
Move on its own, by the way. Sorry.
It moved because your webcam just
moved. Well, I touched it to move it back. Don't worry about it. It's early.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Disney movies anywhere, but that doesn't include Windows.
Yeah, so Disney used to have a service called Disney Movies Anywhere, right? And it was the idea was that if you bought Disney movies from any online service or from Disney directly, by linking your accounts, you could access those movies at all of the other services. So, for example, if I bought a Disney movie, like Star Wars is under Disney now, from iTunes, I could connect that account to Google, and I could watch that movie in Google Play Movies and TV. It's a good idea. It worked in Microsoft's Movies and TV service until about a month or so ago, when silently it disappeared. At that time, Sony was rumored to be working on its own thing. Like, they were trying. I sort of viewed it as like Sony, or Disney going their own way. But actually, what they're doing is working with four of the other top movie studios. I'd say there's about seven top movie studios, so five of the seven are involved, and making a new service just called Movies Anywhere without the Disney on the front, where that same thing is going to work, but now it's from all of those studios. So, for example, I have hundreds of movies that I bought through iTunes. Now, they're not all available through the service, but like maybe two-thirds of them are. It's pretty, or more, I don't know, hundreds of them are. And what that means is, if by connecting my account, I could access those movies that I purchased from Apple, from the Amazon video player, from the Google video player, from Vudu, but not from Microsoft. And so this kind of ties back to my theory in the wake of the Groove stuff that, you know, maybe Microsoft's going to do a deal with someone and say, look, we're going to move your content over to Amazon or Apple or whoever. You'll be able to access it, that stuff, everywhere, most of it, right? Because five of the biggest movie studios are involved now, and you'll have much broader capabilities there. You can have your choice of player, your choice of ecosystem, your choice of device. You know, movies and TV is pretty much relegated to Windows and to the Xbox. So that's just a theory. Microsoft, by the way, could join this system tomorrow and ruin that theory and leave us hanging for another 6 months or a year. But I think the end game there is obvious. Like, Microsoft has to get rid of this thing. It's stupid for them to have a yep. movie and TV service. So we'll see.
Gotcha. And what's you put this in the show notes, and I have absolutely no idea what it means. Yeah. Nadella yep. on Microsoft mobile strategy here, Paul.
Yeah. So Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft, has been touring the world, as you know, going on his big book tour. And mm-hmm. He showed up at GeekWire Summit this past week and talked to Todd Bishop, who we know, and was asked a bunch of softball questions about cricket and his growing up and about Hit Refresh and all that stupid stuff. But they got to some really meaty stuff right in the middle of it. And one of the things Todd Bishop asked was about Microsoft's mobile strategy and whether Microsoft would ever make a smartphone again. The answer mm-hmm. to that question is no. Microsoft is not going to make a smartphone. They're done with that. They have a mobile play. They're going to put all their apps and services on Android and iOS, as we know. They're hoping to invent new form factors like they say they did with the 2-in-1 in Microsoft Surface. Although, by the way, Microsoft did not invent the 2-in-1, but okay, whatever. They certainly popularized it. I think that's fair. And he said something kind of incredible, like it's just crazy when you think about it, but he said that in the same way that the smartphone displaced the PC as the hub of all things, right, that something will come down the road someday and displace the smartphone. And they're looking mm-hmm. to that. And one of the things that they feel that might actually do that, and I hope you're sitting down because this is nuts, is mixed reality.
I thought you were going to say Office 365.
Yeah, Office 365. Yes, Microsoft 365 and the movies and TV service. No, he thinks that, well, for example, like when you think about computers, right, the notion that you have to go to a particular room to use a computer is nuts today, right? Now yeah. we have portable computers that work out in the world and you can take a computer with you and use it out in the world. And that's, you know, okay. But most people prefer to use these far more personal devices like a smartphone. And there's a whole range of freedom there because of the size of it, the personal nature of it, mm-hmm. and the fact that you're always connected with no matter where you are, for the most part. But he's saying, you know, he goes, we can take that even a step further. Imagine if you don't have to take that phone out of your pocket, that you can see this kind of virtual world in front of you without having to use that phone. Now, of course, we yeah. know today that in order to view that world, you need to put on a gigantic, bulky headset that mm-hmm. usually is tethered to something. Doesn't have very good, no range and no appreciable battery life and so forth. Obviously in the future, those things will change. I think the failure of this or the failing of this idea is that the reality is that mixed reality as they call it, which is really augmented reality, a combination of virtual reality and augmented reality, is going to succeed on the smartphone. There's no generation of mixed reality. Like it's not PC phone mixed reality. Mixed reality is part of phone, you know. It's also part of PC. So yeah. it's an additive thing to existing platforms. It's you know, and look, in the future, ambient computing is what I sort of think of it. I think could involve AR, MR aspects, personal assistants that you speak to and you're basically creating batch files for that will shut the blinds, shut off the lights, lock the doors, turn on the security cameras, all that kind of stuff, all in one whack, you know. Is AI, machine learning, whatever you want to call that stuff. I mean, that could be a wave. But, you know, short term, most people are going to experience all of that stuff on the device they experience everything on today, which is a smartphone. So anyway, yeah. kind of interesting. I wrote an analysis of it for premium users. I kind of went through everything said. I corrected some of his math and, you know, corrected his statement about 2-in-1s yeah. and so forth. But we're definitely worth reading. And if you want to listen to him speak for some reason, it's the videos on YouTube. It's worth watching as well.
Very cool. I might read that one, but I can't admit that publicly.
It's interesting.
One other thing, somebody pinged me about and they said, hey, you guys had your premium meeting in New York. You know, what's coming? What's changing? Oh. And so that's a very good and fair question. We're not really ready to talk about it yet just because right. this was very much a conceptual thing. I mean, literally when we walk into these meetings, anything is on the table. It's like, hey, are we going to do a premium year two? The answer is absolutely yes. you know, at a high level, we feel that year one went well, right? I mean, perfect, absolutely not. And you know, we're learning and we're making decisions, and there's just stuff in the works. And hopefully.
Well, here's a few things I think we can say. All right. So we actually did come to some decisions, which I didn't expect. I think we've come up with some good ideas, which I won't discuss yet, but there is this notion of engaging the people who are premium members and also the people who aren't, right? To kind of gain an understanding of what they want to see going forward. So for example, if I might write a bunch of articles about using Android or something these days, because that's kind of where the world is going. Well, is that valuable to people? Do they want to see more of that or less of that, whatever? So I think we'll do some of that kind of reaching out type stuff. This wasn't related to the future premium, but one of the things that's come up, because it's been a big problem on the site lately, has been all of the content spamming and so forth. And you and I both every day wake up and deal with this. It's awful. Like this morning, I removed several comments and threads, and I deleted, I think, 3 users. And they just keep coming back because they're cockroaches or whatever. But I also forwarded you a second email from someone. I was curious, you probably know this, if this was related, is have we in fact implemented captchas on our site for our stuff yet?
Yeah. So here's the problem with that. We do have a captcha implemented for, let's say, Paul goes to throt.com and signs up on our site. We can't, under my current understanding, implement captcha if you come to our site and you sign up using Twitter or Facebook, which is
by far the most
popular way to register on the site. And so it's kind of in a rock and a hard place where these bots just go and create a Twitter account, and then they can log into 50 sites because that's the path of least resistance. That is the reason why you can't do that. So we've looked at potentially implementing captcha for when you go to make a post, but then it's like, God, that's such a terrible user experience when the vast majority of posts aren't spam, but obviously spam is such a pain in the butt.
So basically, these guys are ruining the internet for everybody. And I literally mean everybody, because it makes the site either full of spam or are unusable because of the crap we have to do to stop the spam. And it makes our lives miserable because we have to manually monitor it every single day. And that's why I was telling Brad and the other guys at the meeting, you know, I log in the morning, and the first article I post, when I post the graphic, what comes up is a grid of the graphics that have just been posted. And those graphics are usually from my articles, but when you folks change your image, you know, like your avatar image, or post a new one, I actually see them in there right at the top. They're kind of date-based, right? So overnight, what will happen is these spammer assholes will create like 3 or 4 accounts. And it's not always, but almost always, it's like beautiful young females. Because I guess the lonely jerks that do this are, of course, the types of people that would have pictures of beautiful young females on a computer or something. Mm-hmm. And I just see that and I know, like, okay, here we go. Like, I have to go look at the threads. I have to go look at the users. I have to go look at the comments. Because you can see that those accounts have been created. Like, that's how I... That's often the first way that I see it. It's like, it's just the worst. So we're thinking about that and working on it, obviously. It's something we'd like to fix for everyone. Not just for you guys. I mean, obviously for you guys, but for us too. It's just terrible.
Yep. And the only other thing I'll drop just real quickly about the meeting is that user feedback was present. Actually, Chris Kez, who created a premium thread, and he says, hey, you know, can you guys give us up a state of the premium union address? We actually invited him to the meeting, and he actually joined us for an hour or two, and we actually went out with drinks with him afterwards. And so we got some outsider
feedback. We're going to do that. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting once for every single premium user. So we'll we'll do that for everybody. No, it's be a little, that would be several. We're probably not going to live that long. Well, it would take quite a while to do that, but we should have, we do have meetups, obviously. Often attached to Microsoft events or shows or whatever. So hopefully we can not have a formal meeting with all of you, but hopefully we can meet a lot of you, you know, as we go in the world.
Yep. So with that, Paul, I know you're about ready to go drive to Boston.
Very excited about that. I love it's been too long since I've spent hours and hours in a car, so that will be good.
Yeah. I actually had a terrible flight home. I mean, it was delayed an hour, but whatever. It was rocky as shit. Like, that was pretty dicey.
It looks like weather is occurring. Today might not be a great day to drive either. I'm not even sure, but
Yeah, I could have done without that. I think I lost a few hairs or possibly years off my life just like gripping onto the seat as the whole plane is shaking like a salt shaker. Anyways, you got anything else for today, Paul?
Nope. I'm going to sit on my butt like I usually do, but this time with a steering wheel in my hand.
Well, you you have fun with that. And
thanks.
Folks, today's show is brought to you by Smart Deploy. Deploy one golden image to any computer, any model, in just minutes. You can find out more at smartdeploy.com/Thrat. And we'll catch you right back here tomorrow on a live show, 1 p.m. Eastern time. That's Thrat.com/live. And have yourselves a wonderful day.